The economic consequences of gridlock in Washington.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama delivers his annual State of the Union address to Congress this evening, and you can expect to hear about plans to boost job training, rebuild infrastructure, and help underwater homeowners. But the reality is the president does not have the political support in Congress to get much past this election year. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reports.
If Congress does nothing, taxes will go up and government spending will come down. Stan Collender at Corvus Communications says with total gridlock, the deficit will get smaller.
But it would also do some quick damage to the economy. You'd have some spending cuts and tax increases just at a time when the economy was starting to recover.
He says the economic recovery is still too fragile and needs congressional coaxing. But most people figure stalemate will stop just about everything.
I actually believe that conventional wisdom may not be correct this year.
Robert Shapiro says that's because of Congress's low approval rating. He was a former campaign advisor for President Bill Clinton.
The members of Congress have got to do something to change the perception that most of them should be thrown out of office, and that means accomplishing something.
He figures the time is right for congressional approval of some economic stimulus projects, like more education and training and rebuilding the nation's crumbling infrastructure. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Now to Greece, where the debt talks continue today ahead of a March deadline. Bondholders made an offer to reduce Greece's debt last night, but Eurozone finance ministers rejected it. If the Greeks can't reach a deal, they face a messy default. Meanwhile, the Greek government is taking other steps to boost revenues, and journalist John Siropoulos is with us from Athens with the details. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I guess when you're a country that is in as deep financial troubles as Greece is, you have to pull out all the stops. And it sounds like the first order of business is to release a list of tax evaders.
That's right. The government has finally, after months of saying that it will do so, released a list of 4,000 people, some of whom owe in the hundreds of millions of euros, largely in an exercise of shaming and of showing our European Union creditors that we are doing everything possible to recoup taxes owed.
And shaming and embarrassing people is not the only tactic that Greece is taking to try to make ends meet. What else is going on?
Well, the government is trying to boost its revenues from tourism, which is already responsible for an estimated 20% of GDP. One of the ways it's doing that is inviting film crews to come and shoot scenes in national monuments and archaeological sites. Another way is the attempt to sell off public property, millions, in fact, of acres of land, which could be sold for redevelopment. But really, what a lot of economists are saying is that the key is not to sell off the family silver. The key is to re-stimulate growth in the economy, and it has to be reversed if Greece is going to stand a chance of eliminating its deficit and eventually paying down its debt.
Journalist John Siropoulos joining us from Athens. John, thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Europe, but up across Asia this morning. And so is the number of YouTube videos viewed. The company says it's up to 4 billion a day. That's 25% higher than just 8 months ago. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow slipped 11 points to close at 12,708.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Well, in his State of the Union speech tonight, President Obama is also expected to announce ideas to make college more affordable. Currently, less than 40% of American adults have a college degree. But as the price keeps going up, more people are questioning the value of a degree. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
Last year, two sociologists published a book that got a lot of attention on campus. Academically Adrift followed a group of college students to find out what they learned. After 4 years of college, more than a third of them showed no significant improvement on a test of critical thinking and reasoning. It's the sort of thing employers have been complaining about for years.
Overwhelmingly, employers are telling us we need to do better.
Carol Geary Schneider is president of the Association of American Colleges and Universities.
Employers are telling us we're not doing a good enough job on critical thinking, communication skills, problem-solving skills, that we need to get students out there in the real world actually applying their knowledge to real problems.
Schneider is part of a new effort to measure and improve what college students learn. Today, a group called the New Leadership Alliance for Student Learning and Accountability is putting out a set of guidelines for schools. They recommend colleges set goals for what students should know when they graduate and then measure and report the results. David Paris is executive director of the alliance.
We can produce more degrees, but those degrees won't be meaningful. They won't serve the students and they won't serve our society unless they really represent a high level of achievement.
He says schools could use a number of measures, standardized tests like the Collegiate Learning Assessment, retention and graduation rates, as well as portfolios of student work. Jack Rossman is professor emeritus of psychology at McAllister College in St. Paul, Minnesota. He says in the past, faculty have resisted efforts to standardize student learning. He says the key is to get them on board early.
Those colleges and universities that have had good success in developing reasonable measures of student learning have had faculty engaged in the process.
Professors may have little choice. The alliance behind the new guidelines says groups representing more than 3,000 colleges and universities have signed on. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, to a dairy farm in Pittfield, Ohio, where the cows have been living the good life for the past 10 months. That's because the owners installed water beds for the cows to relax in. The farmers tell CNBC the cows' milk has improved and the cows are healthier, and they'd like some more sparkling water, please, with lemon. Thanks a lot. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.